It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Today I'd like to spend the next few minutes with you and talk to you about the subject of unbelief. Now we know that belief can do many things, and in Mark chapter 9 and verse 23 the Bible says that all things are possible. But we also see that unbelief can hinder many things according to Matthew chapter 17 verses 18 through 20. Unbelief is also said to be an evil heart according to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. We see also in Romans chapter 14 and verse 23 where it says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. As we look to believing or belief, belief will give you a new heart, according to Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. It says there, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Notice the first part of that verse where it says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Well, in Mark chapter 16, we're going to read a few verses here. And actually, we're going to read more than just a few verses in Mark. Well, it's a few verses. It depends on how you look at it. We're going to start in Mark chapter 16, verse 9. And we're going to go down through verse 13, first of all. Well, as we look at this, in verse 9, it says, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week. Now this, of course, is speaking of his resurrection. It says, on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. When they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. Now, once again, she went to tell these people about Jesus, how he'd risen from the grave, and they did not believe at first. Now, notice verse 12 and 13. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Well, here we read about those who knew Jesus, but yet they didn't believe he had risen. Well, why didn't they believe? First of all, I understand that according to John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27, and also if you'll look in Mark chapter 15, verses 40 and 41, you'll see that they didn't believe because they had seen him hanging on the cross. They had seen Christ die. They knew that he had died because they had witnessed this with their own eyes. They saw him hanging there, his blood dripping out, his shed blood, his blood was being shed for them. He shed his blood for you and I that we could go to heaven. These people, his disciples, the people who stood around the cross saw him die. That's one reason they didn't believe. And then I believe that another reason they didn't believe is because they knew he had been buried. In Mark chapter 15, verses 42 through 46 and verse 47, it talks about how that Joseph of Arimathea wanted the body of Christ. They wanted to take his body and give him a decent burial. These, of course, we know Nicodemus was one who came. He came with Joseph to claim the body of Jesus to give a decent burial. And they went and got the body of Jesus, wrapped him in the burial clothes, and placed him in his tomb. Now this was the tomb of Joseph. Nobody had ever been in that. Nobody had ever been there, but they took Jesus to this tomb and they buried him. Well, the disciples and those people standing about who saw the body of Jesus taken down from the cross, they saw Joseph of Arimathea who had taken the body of Christ and placed him in a tomb. They didn't believe because they saw him hanging on the cross. They saw him die. They didn't believe that he was risen from the dead because they knew he had been buried. Then I see that they were still thinking about the natural instead of the supernatural. Well, if you go back and look in Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 16, 19 through 21, and 22 through 24, you'll find out that Jesus had told them that he was going to raise from the dead, that he was going to come back to life because, as we study and read the scriptures, we understand that he is God and that he came to seek and to save those who were lost. Well, he was as much God and had he never been man. And he was as much man had he never been God. He placed aside, and he put aside his deity in order to come to this earth to save sinful men and women like you and I. He wanted to save the world. And the Bible tells us that he came into the world to seek and to save sinners. He came into the world to seek and to save those people who would call upon his name and receive him as Lord and Savior. I know by looking at the scriptures that they didn't believe because they had seen him hanging on the cross. They saw him die. They knew he had been buried, and they were still thinking about the natural instead of the supernatural. Jesus said, "Destroy this temple. In 3 days now, we'll raise it again. In other words, he was saying, "You destroy my body, and I'll raise it up again in 3 days. Well, did they ever believe? Of course they did. Did they believe? They believed when they partook of the food he offered in Luke chapter 24, verses 30 and 31. And you look in verse 32 as well, and you'll find that their eyes were opened. He was walking on the road to Emmaus with, and we read about this in these verses that I've just mentioned, and as they walked along, they didn't really know who Jesus was at that time, but they sat down to eat with him, and immediately the Bible says that their eyes were opened, and they went on to say, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as we walked along, and he opened the scriptures to us?" They believed. These were the disciples on the road to Emmaus, if you recall. They knew that this was the Lord because their eyes were opened, because no longer did they see the natural, but they saw the supernatural, the workings of God. Something else. Jesus proved his resurrection by his death. Now, there are several scriptures that talk about this in Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 39 and 40, and also Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21. He said, "When I'm gone, I'm going to die. I'm not just going to go out and disappear," he said. "I'm going to die." Once again, I remind you that he also said that when he died, he would raise again. He would come back. And as a result of that, he would be able to seek and to save those who were lost. By his death, we can have eternal life. Notice something else. The belief that we have today, the belief that the people had back then, although they saw him die, they saw him hanging on the cross. They knew he was in the tomb. They knew he had been buried. But we look today and we see that the resurrection of Christ is proven by scriptures. The scripture state his resurrection. These people saw the signs back then that Jesus did. They saw that through him, they would understand that he had risen from the dead. In John chapter 20, the Bible talks here about something that is very interesting, and we need to look at that in John chapter 20 and verses 30 and 31. The Bible says there, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." We see that Jesus did many miracles. Jesus performed many miracles, and we read about those in the Word of God. We see many signs concerning Jesus in the Word of God. And as we look at that, and as these people that we've read about today, as they looked and they remembered the signs that Jesus gave them, they understood that he was alive, and they believed. It says there that you and I, that as these things were written, they were written that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing we might have life through his name. I want you to notice something with me in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. In Isaiah 53, verses 1 and 3, it says this, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and is a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. We see in that verse, that in those verses, that Jesus lived. And as we look at that in Isaiah 53, in verses 4 and 5, it goes on to say, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And we see in those verses that his death took place. First, we saw in Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 3, how that he lived. In Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 5, we see his death. In verses 6 through 9, we continue reading on. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, that's Jesus, laid on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. We see in those verses that he lived. We see in those verses that he died. And now, what is it but in Isaiah 52, verse 13, we see that he lives. Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 13 says, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled, and he and be very high. Jesus is alive. Jesus wants you to know him today as your personal Savior. Won't you trust him today? Ask him to come into your heart. He'll save you right now where you're at. The Bible says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. In other words, the children of God. If you've never trusted him, I know that when I was in school, we prayed the prayer, and when I was growing up, our Father which art in heaven. Well, he's not your Father if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Jesus said he came to do the will of his Father which is in heaven, and his will was to give his life on the cross of Calvary for you. If you will simply trust him as your Savior, ask him to come into your heart. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He wants to be your Lord today if you will trust him and ask him to come into your heart. Bow your head right now and admit you're a sinner. Admit that you can't save yourself. Lord, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself, and I know I will not go there apart from you. Now, Lord, you've actually shown me how to go to heaven, and that is by trusting you as Lord and Savior. Please come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord right now. I want you to cleanse me from all sin. If you'll do that, if you'll ask Jesus to come into your heart, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.